أحيانا وعلمنا بأن نبقى
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئة أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له وما يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وبعد خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. We begin by praising Allah. We praise Him. We seek His help and we ask for His forgiveness. And we take refuge with Allah from the evil of ourselves and from the evil consequence of our evil actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is none to misguide, and whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, there is none to guide. And I testify that Allah alone is worthy of worship, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the servant of Allah and His final messenger. Okay, brothers and sisters, I have a big topic to cover about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the most revered man in history. And the thing I want to begin with is the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is indeed a man. You see, one of the things that throughout history the non-Muslims, the kuffar, the people who have vigorously opposed the teaching of all the prophets, one of the things they always said is, you are a mere man. Every prophet, they launched this accusation. You are a mere man. You are just a mortal. You're just a human like us. Why doesn't Allah send down an angel to talk to us? But the fact is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always chosen human beings to be the messengers for human beings. And it is, of course, one of the most clear doors to disbelief to claim that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not human, that he was created from light or such matters that have no basis and in fact contradict the clear verses of the Quran and actually go against the whole purpose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending messengers. This is the folk Islam. And it's quite shocking to find that in a society like the Western society, where we are by and large generally brought up with a rational, logical approach to matters, that there are still people who follow this hocus pocus folk Islam, that you would think no intelligent person would believe such matters. And the only people who would follow it were some ignorant people in a village who had no idea. Yet we still find, although Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he warned us Don't exaggerate in praising me, as the Christians exaggerated in praising Isa. I am Rasulullah and I am Abdullah. I am the messenger of Allah and I am the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet was proud and he was honored with the title of Rasulullah and Abdullah. And he warned us against exaggerating in praising him. And this is what is important, and I want us to start with this on the talk today, to understand that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most praised man. He's praised as a man. He's praised because he was a man. He's praised because he was a human being. He ate food, he breathed air, he was born like humans were born. He ate foods. He breathed air. He went to the bathroom. He cohabited with his wives. He slept. He forgot things, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He forgot things. He made mistakes. Because he was human. But that only makes him more special. That only makes him more praiseworthy. And this is what we have to understand, brothers and sisters. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell the angels to bow down to Adam? Why did Allah tell the angels to bow down to Adam? What is special about Adam? What is special about the human being? Allah has created us in the best of created forms. We are created in the best of forms. But Allah has lowered us to the lowest of the low. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Except those who believe and do righteous actions. And this is it, brothers and sisters. This is it. You see, we have choice. We are not like the angels. The angels cannot disobey Allah. They cannot disobey Allah. Iblis is not a fallen angel, like in the Christian theology. They believe that Shaitan or Iblis was an angel. But we know that is not the case. We know that Iblis is a jinn. And the jinn, like us, have the choice to choose to obey Allah or to disobey Allah. And it's because we have that choice. The angels, they don't. Whatever Allah commands them, they do it. They have to obey Allah like we have to breathe. They cannot disobey Allah. They are incapable of it. But we can choose. We can choose to believe or not believe. We can choose to obey or disobey. The sun cannot, the moon cannot, the stars cannot, the plants cannot. But we have the choice. So if we choose to overcome our desires, if we choose to overcome our passions, if we choose to apply our intellect and follow the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent, and we believe in Allah, and we follow His guidance, and we do righteous actions, then we have a station above even that of the angels. This is how Allah has honored Bani Adam. If we believe and if we do righteous actions. So the one who has no choice is not like the one who has a choice. The man who restrains himself from doing haram things with the opposite sex because he feels tempted to do that and he has that type of disposition but he restrains himself, he is not like the man who has no such drive. The more difficult it is, the more reward you get. Some of us may get angry very easily. So the one who controls his anger, who gets angry easily, and who controls his anger or her anger, then the reward for that one is more than the person who it's not in their nature to get angry. This is the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it is very important to understand that the station of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is linked to the fact that he is a human being. That he is like us in the sense that he is human like us. He has the same desires like us. He needs to do the same things that we need to do. And this is very important. Because if Allah had sent an angel to be a prophet, then you know what we would have said? We would have said, oh, it's very easy for you to say that. You are an angel. You don't have desires like me. When you see a beautiful woman, you don't feel what I feel. You're an angel. You're not tempted by wealth and power and so on. You're an angel. So how could an angel be an example for us to follow? Or if the prophets were some semi-gods or demigods, whatever that's supposed to mean. Or like some Spider-Man, Superman, superhero thing. Who can be like Superman or Spider-Man? I know they don't exist, but you know what I mean, right? I'm not confused, don't worry. But the point being, if the prophets were like that, we'd all say, well, you know, I can't be like Spider-Man or Superman flying around the world and all of this. You know, what sort of example is that for me to follow? That's why the prophets are human. And they show us, and Allah shows us their humanity. And this is what we see in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet, what makes him special, what makes him revered, what makes him honored, what gives him the highest station, is that he has controlled his desires winningly. He has applied his understanding and he has obeyed himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of all the human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he looked into the hearts of the human beings. And he found that the best of the hearts was the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah looked into all the hearts, and the best was the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then after the prophets, the best of the hearts of the people after the Anbiya were the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many different ways Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the best of the hearts, and Allah surrounded him and gave him the company of the best of the human beings after the prophets. This is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his station is based upon the fact that he has in his life completed and perfected to the utmost of capacity that the human beings have the ability to do that. He has completed the reason for which we exist. What is the reason for which we exist? The reason for which we exist, the reason why we have been created, is no other reason except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ We only have been created for no other reason except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is it. And the best worshipper, the one who has completed and perfected the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Three men, young men, they came one day to ask the family of the Prophet about the worship of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, they said, who are we? This is Rasulullah. Allah has forgiven his previous and latter sins. And who are we compared to him? One of them said, I will fast every day of my life. The other one said, I will never sleep in the night and I will pray all the night. The other one said, I will never get married. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he heard about this, he called the people. This is his habit. You know, there's something important. He would call them to the masjid. He called the people. He said, "What is wrong with such and such who says such and such thing? What is wrong with the one who says this and that?" He didn't name them. He didn't say this one and that one. And he just said, "What is wrong with Fulan, these people who say this and who say that?" He said, "Verily, I fear Allah the most of you. I have the most taqwa. There is no one who has more taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I fear Allah the most of you. And I fast some days and I don't fast other days. And I sleep in the night and I pray in the night. And I marry the women. So whoever does not follow my sunnah has got nothing to do with me." Brothers and sisters, the best you could ever do in your life is to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are the deen of ittiba. We are the people, the Muslims of following. We are the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are not innovators. We are not the mubtadi'een. We do not innovate in the religion, because innovating is insulting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah protect us from that. Because the people who innovate in this religion, it is as if they are saying that the Prophet did not complete his mission sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can think of a few acts of ibadah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't think of. We can think of some ways of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't bring. This is insulting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you love Allah, follow the Prophet. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ Follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If it's true you love Allah, then follow the Prophet. That's the best you can do. No one fears Allah more than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he is the example. Because we cannot guess how to worship Allah. Worshipping Allah is not based upon guesswork. This is where some people go wrong. They don't understand the limitations of the intellect. Yes, the intellect is a great gift. Yes, the intellect is highly important. Our intellect helps us understand what is truth from falsehood in terms of what is guidance from Allah and what is misguidance. This is clear. But we can't guess or make up from our own minds how to pray, how to fast, how to make hajj, how much money we should pay for zakah, what are the rights, what are the aspects of wudu. We can't guess these things from our mind. This is tawfiqiyya, this is based upon guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this guidance, of course, has come in the Qur'an. The book of Allah, and the Quran has been explained by the actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it explains the Quran. So the Quran and the sunnah, in understanding the religion, they come together. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The book of Allah and my sunnah, they come together and they will not be separated until they meet me in the pond, the Kawthar in paradise." Because Rasulullah, you see, this is why one of the imams of sunnah, Imam Barbahari, he said in his Sharh Sunnah, "The sunnah is Islam and Islam is the sunnah." We would not know how to worship Allah without the sunnah. This is the futility and the lies of those people who say that we only need the Quran. Whoever says we only need the Quran is not a Muslim. I don't think they even read the Quran. The Quran tells us how many times, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَتِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَتِيُوا الرَّسُولَ. Obey Allah and the Messenger. Look how Allah honored Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah honored Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by making his sunnah the explanation for his book, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we want to know how to worship Allah, there is no better example you can find than in the life and the action and the character and the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the example for us. Allah has made his life the paradigm that we should follow and that we should take as our example. And therefore, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feared Allah the most of us, because he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worshipped Allah in the most perfect manner, it is not exaggerating in praising him to say that he is the best of the human beings. It is not exaggerating in praising him to say that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of the human beings. Aisha was asked about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she said that his character was the Quran. His character was the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is on an exalted level of character. His level of character is exalted. And if you want a proof of Islam, if you want a proof of the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look to his character. How many people embraced Islam just by their observation of the character and the morals and the manners of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How many stories are told until today concerning the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? His fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his piety towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is part of his excellent character. His patience. Look at the patience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are so many examples we can give of that. There is the famous incident when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to leave his house. And there was a Jewish woman who used to live near him, and she used to throw rubbish onto the street. You know, in those days when you threw it, you know, all the stuff that you, when you went to the bathroom, they just throw it onto the street. She would throw this on the street when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came by. Every day she did this to annoy him and aggravate him. And then one day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he went by this woman's house. You know, the usual delivery hadn't come. Now, you know, if it was you and me, brothers and sisters, you know what we'd be saying. I hope you're dead, you cow. Right? Come on. Even the best of us would be going, yeah. But not Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knocks on the door of this house. And when the servant girl opens the door, he asks, how is your mistress? Is she well? Is she ill? I'm concerned about her, if there's anything I can do for her. And subhanallah. Of course, when she came to hear about this, she said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. No one has character like this except the messengers of Allah. This is his character. Look at the Prophet in Taif. Can you imagine Taif, this mountainous region? The Prophet goes from Mecca, he makes this journey to Taif, and he goes to see the people there, and they treat him in the most terrible and rude and undignified manner. The leaders of the town mock him, and not only that, they're not content with mocking him and refusing to listen to him. Then they send the street urchins and the children and the ignorance They send them to stone and throw stones at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, the Prophet called this his hardest day. Subhanallah. His hardest day. The blood was flowing from his legs so that the sandals were stuck to his feet. Subhanallah, brothers and sisters. But look at the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Jibreel comes to him and says, if you like, we will order the angels of these mountains to destroy this town. Rasulullah says, no. Maybe from their descendants will come people who will worship Allah. You see, brothers and sisters, they used to come sometimes, the Sahaba, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they would ask him to curse certain people. He said, I have not been sent to do that. I have been sent as a mercy to all the worlds. This is the character of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is his patience. And can you imagine the steadfastness? Can you imagine his, not only his patience, but his steadfastness? That when his uncle comes to say to him, and that they are offering him all sorts of offers, we will make you our king. We will make you the richest man amongst us. If you want beautiful women, just name them. We will give you whatever beautiful women you like. If there is some jinni that's bothering you, we will spend any amount of money to get a cure. Just leave off preaching this religion. Or at least, if you don't leave off preaching it, what you could do is, we will worship Allah alone one day, and then we'll worship the idols the other day. You know, we have a compromise. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said no. He said to his uncle, I cannot give up this message any more than you can take a torch and light it from the sun. This is steadfastness, brothers and sisters. His refusal to compromise on his message, but yet his refusal to compromise never meant that he was impolite or that he was rude. No. Rather, he always displayed the best of character. Overlooking, forgiving faults, never taking personal revenge. This is how he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, as we know, his nickname, even before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon him prophethood, was Al-Amin, the trustworthy one. This was his nickname, the trustworthy one. And subhanallah, this incident, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first time he is going to publicly preach about Islam, he stands on the top of Mount Safa. There was something the Arabs called the naked warner. According to their tradition, if the Mecca was being attacked, a person would have to strip off all their clothes and go and stand on the top of Mount Safa. Now, I presume the reason they have to take their clothes off was, you know the story of Cry Wolf. You know the boy who says, wolf, wolf, wolf. And when they come, they say, I was only joking, there's no wolf. You know, and he does it three times. And the third time, the people say, he's just joking again, and then the wolf comes and eats him, right? So I presume the reason, you know, that you had this, you know, you had to take your clothes off was to prevent, you know, this type of, you know, doing it as a joke type thing. I don't know, in this society today, people just get any excuse to take their clothes off, but anyway, you know, it'd probably tempt them even more. But anyway, in those days, certainly it was hopefully a preventative thing. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was standing on top of Mount Safa. Of course, he's fully clothed. So he's calling the people, all this tribe, all that. He's calling all the tribes. And either the leader of the tribe comes or they send a representative. And then he says to them, oh my people, if I was to tell you that there was an army about to attack us from behind this hill, would you believe me? You see, right there, the first time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is calling the people to Islam, Allah establishes the hujjah, the proof against all of them. Because they reply unanimously, "Of course we would believe you, Muhammad. We never heard anything except truth from you." Then he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, "I have come to warn you of a terrible punishment from your Lord." He says, "I can avail you nothing against Allah. Fatima, daughter of Muhammad, I can't help you against Allah." Brothers and sisters, subhanAllah, this is a momentous thing. You're talking about a society that is based upon tribalism. If you're Somali, you probably know what tribalism is. That's what the Imam told me that. Okay? Don't do anything to me, you know, it's his fault. Abu Huraira Masjid, go and talk to him. I don't know what tribe he's from as well, but you would pray don't mess with him, inshallah. But tribalism was very, 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 it was the whole society was built on tribalism. But in this first speech, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is destroying it. He is saying, "You're from my tribe, doesn't make any difference. It's not going to help you one bit. Tribalism is based upon the fact that if you belong to my tribe, I don't care what you do. You can do anything, but you're from my tribe and I will protect you." That's tribalism, right or wrong. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, "It doesn't matter even if you're my daughter, I can't help you unless you obey Allah." And this is the justice. This is another quality of Rasulullah, another aspect of his character. He was just. He was never moved by the ties of relationship. When someone came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and there was a noble woman of Quraysh who had stolen something, and they wanted to intercede because she was from the wealthy family, and they were trying to intercede with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so the hudud, the punishment of Allah, was not going to be applied upon her. So they tried to prevent this. So they sent, I think it was Zayd, they sent him, because, or Osama, it was very close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when the Prophet heard this, he became so upset. He became, "Are you trying to intercede with me on one of the hudud of Allah?" He said, "Verily by Allah, by the Lord in whose hand is my soul, if Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, stole, I would implement Allah's punishment upon her." This is justice. Unmoved. "Are you my relative? Are you from my tribe? Are you my daughter? Are you my son? Are you my wife? Are you my husband?" It's not going to move me. The truth is the truth and justice is justice. Isn't this the most excellent characteristic in a human being? To be just like that, to be truthful like that, to be sincere like that, to be honest like that. You see, brothers and sisters, if we look at the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how was he treating people? With such gentleness, with such kindness. Anas, who served the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for 10 years. This is incredible. I mean, this is just almost beyond belief. He served the Prophet for 10 years, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam never even said to him, "Why didn't you do this?" or "Why didn't you do that?" Why didn't you do this? Or why didn't you do that? Subhanallah. He never even said uff to him. Subhanallah, this is his character. And how was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? How was he with his wives? And you see, this is the thing about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was a remarkable man. In every different sphere, whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did, he was remarkable. Of course he was remarkable as a prophet. Even I have a quotation from the Encyclopedia Britannica. It mentions that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the... Well, it doesn't say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It says, Muhammad is the most successful of all prophets and religious personalities. It's a fact that's acknowledged even by the non-Muslims. And I'm going to read some things that some non-Muslims have said. Not because what they say, in a sense, is that important. Not because we need them to say these things, you know, to feel good about being a Muslim. No, but you know they have a saying, when your enemy testifies about you, then that's a really good tazkiyah. That's a really good testification. Of course your friends are going to say nice things about you, but when your enemies say nice things about you, then really that shows your quality. So of course he was supremely successful as a prophet. He was supremely successful as a messenger of Allah. And we're a testimony to that, brothers and sisters. We're a testimony to that. Sitting here today, we are a testimony to the success of the personality and the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But not only was he successful in the spiritual sphere, he was also successful in the temporal sphere. And I'm going to read you some quotations about that. Also, as a father, he is a shining example as a father. He is a most shining example. And who, you couldn't even imagine having a better father than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a husband, the Prophet himself said, the best of you are those who are best to their wives. The best of you are those who are best to their wives. And I am the best to the wives. Meaning he himself said that the way he treated his wives was the best way. And if you look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you look at the way he was with his wives. I mean, apart from polygamy being a very, very difficult situation to handle, we only need to see the rivalries between the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, there's one incident when Salama sent some food when there were some guests, and the guests were in the house of Aisha. And Salama, she sent some food to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, for the guests. And when Aisha saw that, she was so jealous and upset, she picked up the dish and she threw it on the ground. Smashed the dish and the food. And you know, they didn't. You know, food was hard to come by in those days. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is laughing as he's picking up the pieces of the dish. He's picking up the pieces of the dish. He doesn't say, oh, Aisha, pick that up right now. What did you think you're doing? Yeah, I know why we're laughing, because I know what we would say. Huh? Where's my stick? Yeah, but he's laughing. Laughing, and he's picking up the pieces himself. And he's saying, this is the jealousy of your mother. Subhanallah. This is Rasulullah. How he used to play and have fun with his wives. How he used to race with Aisha. One day they went on an expedition together. He told everyone, go ahead. He said, Aisha, let's have a race. So they raced. Aisha was young. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, anyway, she won the race. He said, another time we went for another, you know, we went out again. And she said, I had got fatter at that time. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, let's have a race. He sent everyone ahead. And this time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam won. He said, that was for the last time. It's my revenge for the last time. This is how Rasulullah sallallahu, look at this. Subhanallah. When did you last race your wives? Huh? Actually, did anyone ever race their wife? Subhanallah. Where is the sunnah? Where is the sunnah? Where is, look at this beautiful example. Who would not want to have a husband like that? Like Rasulullah sallallahu. I mean, put aside the fact that he's the messenger of Allah. Just his kindness and his beautiful treatment and the way that he is, subhanallah.
Subhanallah, this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
And we can give examples. Of course, as a general, subhanallah, what an amazing general is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Supremely successful general. Amazing. And if you study the qualities and how a general has to be, and it's not an easy thing, yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was remarkably successful and competent as a general. And of course, as a leader, and we're going to mention some quotations, and we could go on and on and on, mentioning how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he excelled, whatever he put himself to do, business, he excelled. Everything he did sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was an example for us to follow. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, the name Muhammad means the praised one. Muhammad means, and it's derived from alhamd, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, the praised one. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the praised one. You know what, brothers and sisters? What is the most common name in the world? Yeah? The most common name in the world is Muhammad. There are some, in some cultures, Muslim cultures, automatically every male child is named Muhammad. That's why they often have to have a second name. For example, I know some people from Bangladesh and some people from Nigeria, every boy is named Muhammad. What's your name? Muhammad. Muhammad Idris. Muhammad. They have to have a second name because everyone is called Muhammad. It is the most common name. And he, of course, is the most imitated person. Who has been imitated so closely, in such detail, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Every detail of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have been imitated. So this is also how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been honored. Brothers and sisters, I've got so much more to say, but they got the wrapping up. You see, got this little thing. Please wrap up. So, give me something to wrap myself in. So, well, we could have some fajita and wrap that up. Okay, so I just want to read some quotation. I have to take these few minutes. Please forgive me, organizers. You know, but we'd miss out if we didn't. We already heard from the brother here, who was standing here before, about heart. You know, he wrote a book, The Most 100 Most Influential People in History. Okay? And this is what he said. My choice of Muhammad to lead the list of the world's most influential persons may surprise some readers and may be questioned by others. But he was the only man in history who was supremely successful on both the religious and secular levels. He goes on to say later, furthermore, Muhammad, unlike Jesus, was a secular as well as a religious leader. In fact, as the driving force behind the Arab conquests, he may well rank as the most influential political leader of all time. Of many important historical events, one might say that they were inevitable and would have occurred even without the particular political leader that guided them. In other words, for example, he gives the example of the South American liberation from the control of the Spanish. He said even if there wasn't, you know, for example, Simon Bolivar, who was one of the leaders of, you know, South American resistance against the Spanish Empire, he said it would have happened anyway. Someone else would have come along. But this cannot be said of the Arab conquests. Nothing similar had occurred before Muhammad, and there is no reason to believe that the conquest would have been achieved without him. And he goes on to mention, it's this unparalleled combination that makes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lead the list of the most influential people in history. I want to read another. This is very, very nice. He mentions his name. This is George Irving is a very famous writer in the early time of this century in America. This is what he wrote about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was sober and abstentious in his diet and a rigorous observer of fasts.
He indulged in no magnificent apparel, the ostentation of a petty mind. Neither was his simplicity in dress affected, but a result of real disregard for distinction from so trivial a source. In his private dealings, he was just. He treated his friends and strangers, the rich and the poor, the powerful and the weak, with equity. And he was beloved by the common people for the affability with which he received them and listened to their complaints. His military triumphs awakened no pride or vain glory, as they would have done had they been affected by selfish purposes. In the time of his greatest power, he maintained the same simplicity of manners and appearance as in the days of his adversity. If he aimed at universal dominion, it was the dominion of faith. As to the temporal rule, which grew up in his hands, he used it without ostentation, so he took no step to perpetuate it in his family. Someone else writes, Jules Massaman, he gives the qualities of what makes a leader. And he mentions three things. A true leader has to provide, number one, for the well-being of the led. Number two, he has to provide a social organization in which the people feel relatively secure and provide them with a set of beliefs. Anyway, we don't have time to read, but he mentions a whole series of leaders and personalities. He said no one in history has managed to combine these three qualities as successfully as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what he says. I have so many quotations here. Let me just finish with this last one. This is too long, unfortunately. I'd really like to read this because it's very, very beautiful. But he says, this is Annie Besant. She says, it is impossible for anyone who studies the life and character of that great prophet of Arabia, who knows how he taught and how he lived, to feel anything but reverence for that mighty prophet. One of the great messengers of the Supreme. And although in what I put to you, I shall say many things which may be familiar to many, yet I myself feel, whenever I reread them, a new way of admiration, a new sense of reverence for that mighty Arabian teacher. And mashallah, brothers and sisters, there are so many beautiful quotations that I have here. I had some more that I wanted to read to you, but unfortunately, the time does not permit. But one last sentence I want to mention. And this is by a man called Lamartine, who is a French writer. Again, he was writing in the last, no, in the not the last century, the one before that. So about 1854. If greatness of purpose, smallness of means. You know, you have a great thing you want to achieve and you have very little to achieve it with. If greatness of purpose, smallness of means, and astounding results are the three criteria of human genius, who could dare to compare to any great man in modern history with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Brothers and sisters, that is our leader. That is our inspiration. That is the prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us to be from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we hope that all of us, we get to meet him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Kawthar, in the Hawd, in Al-Jannah, and that he presents to us the cup and we drink from that cup. And once we drink from it, we will never be thirsty ever again. That is what we look forward to, brothers and sisters, in respect to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وخلانا وأترعنا متى ظمئانا.